somebody else who kind of knows what's going on.
We sure do. That is the host of the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN and the author of Philly Special, and that would be Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. This week in pro football, week 5. We're turning the page on the quarter pole. I love it.
That's right, Sal. We, the inventors, we were the first to talk about the quarter pole, right? Weren't we, Joe?
Absolutely. I remember it well. Yeah.
All right. So listen, Sal, we want to get started here right away. I got a million things to go through with you, including we're going to finish up talking about home field advantage, and that'll segue into our top 5. But my first question to you, Sal, is simply this. Is can the Eagles actually not look past this game tomorrow, given with the way the schedule takes a turn for them after tomorrow?
Well, Pat, I mean, the Jets have only scored one offensive touchdown in their first 3 games. First time since they were the New York Titans way back when Sonny Werblin owned the team in the mid-60s. So it's been quite a while. It's pre-Namath, okay? So Adam Gase has done a little back-to-the-future move on this Jets offense. And now you've got, may the force be with you, Luke Falk, playing quarterback for them. But it's going to take more than the divine intervention of Obi-Wan Kenobi for them to score a touchdown in this game. I'd be shocked if the Jets even scored 7 points. I really do. I think the Eagles will just roll up on this team and roll right through them.
Sal, one of the things from the Eagles' perspective that people have been talking about this week is obviously the injuries. They've banged up team after Green Bay, 10 days to rest. Some players returning, some not. What would you say is the state of the Eagles health-wise in terms of where they are this season?
Mediocre at best. But there's a lot of teams that have injury problems. Now, the Patriots have had 10 guys on the injured reserve so far since spring practices. Last year, their entire year, their Super Bowl year, they had only 11. And they're on week 5 and they're on 10. The injury bug has hit a lot of teams throughout the NFL. Teams have lost their starting quarterbacks. I think the Eagles should be lucky that they, knock on wood, haven't had a major injury to at the quarterback position. Carson Wentz is healthy. He can make a lot of bad things right. In my view, he's playing at a super high level. I don't know if you saw Peyton Manning's breakdown that's on ESPN Plus right now of Carson Wentz, but it's pretty incredible what Carson is doing with a very limited offensive scheme based on the players that they've had shuttle in and out at the wide receiver position. I think Carson is having one of his best, just come up one of his best months ever, really, considering.
He certainly has. I mean, I think Wentz is, you're right, that's right. That's one thing we can't even discuss here is the health of Wentz so far. So good with that. Let me just segue for a second, Sal. You brought up New England. And of course, we all know the consensus is New England, Kansas City, and the rest in the AFC is just fluffed until we get to January. Are you concerned? I mean, if you're a Patriots fan or somebody in that organization, is it time to get a little concerned about the number of quality guys that they have now lost for the season or that are nicked up?
Well, Pat, listen, the AFC right now is like the NBA, right? You can predict who's going to be in the final two, midway through the season. Actually, after about a month and a half. It's going to be Kansas City and New England, and the rest of the AFC is just like, the NBA West Division. They're going to be horrible.
Right.
You have 13 teams in the NFL that are 2-2. Right now in the league. That's the first time that's ever happened going into week 5 ever. And 4 of them are in one division, the AFC South. So you have a lot of mediocre teams. This is the dictionary definition of parity right now. And 2 teams, Kansas City and New England, are poised to be in the AFC Championship game, barring any major injury at the quarterback position. And the question is, where is it going to be? And it looks like it's going to be in New England if they can hold up injury-wise. That's the big question, right? Last week, it was clear that with a superior defense on the road against Buffalo, where they didn't score an offensive touchdown, New England just looked ordinary offensively. You just don't have Gronkowski. Edelman's not 100%. Tom Brady can't move. Listen, here's what we should do on this show. And people that are listening, go through the rest of the Patriots' schedule and pick out the teams and their defensive coordinators and write them a letter and say, just bring the house on Brady every single down. He can't move. Mm-hmm. Blitz him off the bus. That's what Buffalo did last week. And that's what you have to do against Tom Brady right now. You just have to scare him into moving his feet, getting rid of the football as quickly as possible, because he doesn't have that many great options offensively, and James White is not having a great year. The Patriots can be beat, but I don't think they can be beat in the postseason of Foxborough. Not yet, not by that Kansas City team.
Sal, one of the big storylines that came out of the Thursday night game against Green Bay was that it was the Jordan Howard coming out game. For me, I thought the offensive line played so well that, you know, they could have lined up Sal Palantonio and probably gotten in some of those touchdowns. Do you see that as being the biggest storyline coming out of Green Bay and leading into the Jets? Because the Jets have a pretty stout offensive front, that the offensive line played healthy and Jason Peters held up for the entire game.
Well, Zeke Elliott's going to do to Green Bay what Jordan Howard did to Green Bay last week, because if you look at the stat line on the Green Bay defense, their run defense is horrible. And the Eagles' offensive line, all five guys played 100% of the snaps. They were cooking with gas. They blew the Packers off the line of scrimmage. And there were, you're right, Joe Torty, Pat Callahan. I don't know about me. I'm pretty slow. You guys would have scampered through those holes on the frozen tundra that wasn't so frozen yeah. last week in Lambeau. There were gaping holes. And I actually think, Joe, that Jordan Howard left yards on the field. I thought he danced in the hole a little too much. I didn't think that the explosion was there. And if it was Miles Sanders carrying the ball and holding on to it, not parenthetically, I say that actually in the full sentence that I'm saying it, if he's carrying the ball and holding on to it, I think they would have run up 300 yards rushing against the Packers. I thought Jordan Howard left a lot of yards on the field. So that's what they've got to do, right? They've got to build off of that. The Jets are undermanned defensively. This is a game where they should just impose their will on the Jets, run the ball, pass the ball, win 35-6.
Yeah, I think you're certainly right there, Sal. So I can't dwell too much on the Eagles game. I want to give a Sal Palantonio.
But it is this week in pro football.
I know, Sal.
We are tempted to look ahead.
I know.
And you're right. Going back to your very first question, of course the Eagles will be tempted to look ahead.
Right.
But if I'm Doug Peterson tonight in the home team hotel there at the Marriott, I would say close the doors, lock the doors, look every player in the eye and say, we cannot look past the Jets. We've got to roll on these guys, and we've got to impose our will and do what we want to do offensively.
Right. I got it. All right. I just want to look around the league now, Sal, a little bit. You and I, in our 18 years together, there are certain franchises that I have just skewered on this show because they have just stunk forever. I just want to ask you, are some long slumbering franchises finally seemingly getting it together? And that would be Detroit, Buffalo, and God forbid Tampa Bay. Do you see those three teams maybe actually getting the ship righted a little bit and being a factor in their respective conferences this year?
Well, what happened to the Rams last week was not, I think it is the biggest shocker of the year, without a doubt, that the Bucs went in there and just decimated that Rams defense.
Right.
I think that is a little bit of an aberration. I think the Bucs will have a much, much harder time against a much, much better Saints defense. Right. Now, Todd Bowles can coach defense, no question. And Bruce Arians has obviously calmed Jameis Winston down. So if you're asking me for one of the franchises who I think that are somewhat fixed and can make some noise and maybe contend for a playoff spot, I would say it's Tampa Bay. But I think Carolina, they lead the NFC in sacks. They could beat up Gardner Minshew at home this week. Jacksonville has had troubles protecting the quarterback. Minshew has a knee injury. I see Carolina winning at home. I don't see Tampa winning in the dome, despite Todd Bowles having a mismatch against Teddy Bridgewater. As for the Lions, I don't know, Pat. You know, the Lions have been bad since Father Knows Best has been on television.
I know. Longer. 1957. You know, but it's at least it's interesting to see some teams.
Joe Shorty, would you just check the facts there? When did Father Knows Best go on TV? I'm going to say 54, 55. Come on.
I'm on it right now.
All right, so while Joe is checking out there when, looking at his phone.
October 3rd, 1954.
Look at that sale now.
You were there, Pat. You remember.
No, I was not there. I'm very pleased to say, Sal, I wasn't there. All right, listen. Then let's segue into this, I want to get into the top five with when we get to that. Is Sal, I just want to mention this stat to you, and I want to get your opinion on it. Is home field advantage, okay? In the NFC through week four, home teams were 16-16. In the AFC, they're 11-19, including
really?
Including last week when the vast majority of the road teams won. So what I ask of you is home field advantage in this league actually diminishing? And if so, why?
Quarterback play, I think, is the number one thing. When you have the Rams lose at home as a 7-point favorite to the Bucs. You have the Ravens lose at home as a 7-point favorite over the Browns. I was at that game. It comes down to superior quarterback play and what defenses are doing against them. I think that that's the number one reason. I think that's the bottom line. That's my answer, Pat. I think it's the quarterback play. I think it's quarterback injuries. I think it's you have to go and point the quarterback position. That's the number one reason.
So, Sal, the other thing that we talked about, too, is that some of these traditional powers at home, like, but it's funny you bring up Baltimore. Baltimore is the team that has the biggest split over the last several years of home wins versus road wins, and how they're really much better at home. Talk about the quarterback play and everything else. Is there any other factor in terms of the fact that more teams are just getting more experience playing in these different areas, or that there's more travel in college where it's bigger time and higher stakes than it's ever been before? I do think there's a lot of things that are contributing to it as well. Do you see it as something that's kind of a blip, a flash in the pan, or something that's kind of here to stay in terms of evening out home field advantage?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question, Joe. It's definitely worth examining. You know, we have a small sample size, but it's definitely worth keeping track of, and I'm sure that's something that we can keep track of for the rest of the year. I mean, all you have to do is go back to the Eagles game. They're a touchdown favorite over Detroit and lose at home.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
What was the difference? The difference was, well, in that case, Carson played well.
Yeah.
But he didn't get any help offensively.
You're right. They didn't run the ball nearly enough. That's certainly true. So let's segue then into Sal Pal's Top 5, brought to us by Gleason's Bar in Levittown, Bucks County, located at 6700 Mill Creek Road, right up the street from Truman High. Gleason's is under new ownership. Our buddy Pat McConney has big plans on the horizon, so stop by Monday through Friday for happy hour specials or pregame Sunday with a bacon Bloody Mary. And check out all the new TVs and the great new look at Gleason's Bar. All right, Sal, the top five is this. I want the three of us to name our top five home field advantages. Now that we basically said there is none, we're going to name the top five home field advantages in the NFL right now. All right, so Joey T, get us going.
Okay, so bearing in mind, I'm trying to take into consideration the actual experiences of playing there, not necessarily the team's records.
Right.
Number five is Kansas City, a team that has an incredibly loud stadium and plays that way. I think that that's number five for me. Number four, the Seattle Seahawks, kind of similar situation. I can't get out of my mind the Marshawn Lynch touchdown run seismic activity. I have New England as number three. It was really tough to put New England anywhere. I didn't know where to put them, but it's really hard to go in and win in New England, but it's hard when you're playing New England. Anyway, I have number two as New Orleans, as a very difficult place to play. Number one might be a surprise. I think Denver has the best home field advantage in all of the NFL just because it's the only place that actually puts the other team at a physical disadvantage that they don't have anywhere else.
All right. I wouldn't buy him as number one, but at least that's a thought. Sal, I'll go next. We always leave Sal for last here. I have Seattle 5. I got New England 4. And again, New England, they're always great, but it is, and nobody wants to go to the dreaded Foxborough ever. I got Green Bay 3. Packers are a good home team. And, you know, the record bears that out for Green Bay. It's not a place you like to you like to play. I'm trying to find it here, their home field. Like Green Bay, you know, in the last, say, 10 or so years, there's only one year in which they lost four games at home. 2-2, 3-0. Tough place to play, Green Bay. Philadelphia, I have two. I do think the Eagles have a decided home field advantage. It's back. It was gone for when the link first opened. I think it is there now. And in Pittsburgh, I have the as the number one home field advantage. The Steelers, that venue is a very tough place to play in Pittsburgh. Sal, how about you?
Well, you know, I traveled all over the NFL for 25 years and covered a lot of playoff games, and I think that what you really have to do is look at it from a postseason perspective. What are the hardest places to win in the postseason, because that's when it counts the most. So I would say Buffalo is number five. That's a tough place to play in the postseason because it is literally a wind-whipped torture chamber of ice-cold freezing weather with a very loud, super energized crowd. Buffalo would be five. I have seen teams go in and beat the Packers in Green Bay in the postseason, like the Giants and the Falcons. But historically, Green Bay in the postseason, because of the weather, is a very tough place to play. I would say Eagles are, without a doubt, a tough place to play. Lincoln Financial Field, I have seen teams come in there in December and January and just fold their tent for three specific reasons. The menacing crowd before the game, the unbelievable energy of the crowd during the game, and then the wind is very unpredictable in the postseason in December and January. Lincoln Financial Field is a very hard place to play. The Saints, I think, are number two. Again, it is so hard to go into New Orleans and win in the postseason. Super hard to do. Unless, of course, you have the referees on your side. That's, you know, we can always count that as an added extra. If you have the refs, you can beat the Saints in the postseason.
Come on. All right, Sean.
So, that's number two. But without a doubt, all you have to do is look at the record. The last 20 years, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have been unbeatable in Foxborough. They have lost a grand total of three postseason games. I covered all three of them. Two of them were flukes, and one of them was a bona fide win by the Ravens in 20 years. Three losses in the postseason, which is extraordinary. So I'm going to go New England 1, Saints 2, Eagles 3, Green Bay 4, Buffalo 5.
Yeah, it's been 12 years since New England lost three home games during a season. You know, of course, but you can chalk that up to the fact that three of those home games every year are against three of the worst teams in the AFC.
Yes, you can. It's a cupcake schedule.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.